You're listening to Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Welcome to Sleep Stories for Equestrians. I'm your host, Ashley Winch. We're so happy you're here to relax and unwind. If you fall asleep and miss the story, we will recap it at the beginning of the next episode. We've also selected and edited these stories for ultimate relaxation, removing any stressful bits without affecting the story's integrity, so you can focus on drifting off to sleep. With that, let's settle down and prepare for our story. The gates are closed. The horses sleep. The day's work done. The chores complete. Now let us rest, our bodies and minds. Drift off to sleep and close your eyes. It's time for us to turn down for the night. Now let's breathe in, breathe out, and turn off the light. One more time, breathe out, breathe in. Now, let us begin. Santa Claus's Pony by Ella F. Mosby. It was a little town in Belgium. There were stork's nests on the high red roofs to which the children pointed as they pattered by in their little wooden shoes, and there were small carts drawn by the strong draft dogs of Flemish breed, looking at their owners with patient, faithful eyes. There were old churches and houses telling a story in wood or stone to every passerby. In one of these old houses, built with gables and little balconies, and with a date and the name of the builder carved over the door, once lived two boys, Jan and Peter Stein. They were sons of a thrifty and honest Flemish burgher who gave with an open hand to God's poor, of whom there were very many after the sad wars those days. There were so many, indeed, that the good burgher's own household lived very plainly, except at the joyous Christmas time, when all Christians keep feast. The children in Belgium have a charming Christmas legend about Santa Claus's pony. They always place their wooden shoes on the window ledge, stuffed full of oats, hay, and fodder for the dear Christmas pony. In the early morning, they run on tiptoe to look, and behold, the hay is all gone. The shoes are brimming over with toys and sweet treats. Then the children clap their hands with glee and wish they could only have waked up in time to see the pony munching his oats. That would have been such fun. Christmas week in Burgerstein's household was one of great plenty. And not only every friend, but every beggar that knocked on the side door had a share. There were black puddings and liver puddings, geese stuffed with chestnuts, and more than one noble turkey with truffles. And for at least a week beforehand, the little mother was busy in the kitchen, mixing the rich Walloon wafers that made little Peter's mouth water, even when he happened to be thinking of them on a midsummer day. Jan was 4 years and a half older than Peter, and he did not care so much either about the plain living all year or the stuffed geese and wafers at Christmas. He wanted to go to school at the Griffin House, and he called the old stone building, carved with griffins and dragons, for waterspouts and gargoyles and gable ends, where they taught drawing and carving and architecture, as well as other things less delightful. Now he and Peter went to school to Captain Jacoby, who asked very little money, but also taught very little learning. How could he, when he had been fighting all the time until he lost his leg? If Jan had wanted indeed to hear about battles and sieges, but Jan's heart was set upon building up in stone and marble and some of fairy dreams he had in his brain. He loved the queer old stone griffins on the schoolhouse, with the quirks in their impossible tales. But the tender-hearted Berger could never keep money enough in his purse to send Jan there, certainly not to send both of his boys. And he and Peterkin had never been separated in all of Peter's short life. No, Jan's heart sank. It was altogether impossible. "Go, boys," called their mother from the spicy, steaming kitchen. "Go quickly and bring home the red cow. She has strayed away to the marsh, but be careful, boys. Don't stay out after sunset. Remember, it's Christmas Eve." As if they had forgotten it for one moment during the day, as if their Sunday shoes were not already arranged on the tall window ledge and filled with oats and hay and grass for the Christmas pony. To Peterkin's affectionate heart, the Christmas pony was a wonderful and glorified creature. On summer holidays, when Santa Claus was busy in his workshop, fashioning toys for winter delights, he imagined the white pony, with its fiery, shining eyes and long, waving mane and tail, as free, like himself, and enjoying many an untrammeled run and caper in Paradise Pasture. Having once seen a picture of the Greek Pegasus, he confessed to his brother that he never thereafter thought of the Christmas pony without wings, though hidden, doubtless, to ordinary vision, by his long, silvery mane. He believed firmly that one night he had actually heard him neigh softly and paw at the wooden ledge. Both the boys were restless. Christmas was in their bones. And so they ran with delight along the frozen path to the marshes to find Kneedle, the strayed red cow.
Be sure to join us on Christmas Eve to hear part two of Santa Claus's Pony. Enjoy this gentle holiday meditation music as it carries you off to dreamland.